Welcome to another Do I say another episode?
Sure. You're the intro lady, so it's the world is your oyster.
Welcome to an episode.
Welcome a new episode.
Welcome to Killing Time.
Yes. We're all a little tired.
We're
friends.
All a little bit hungover. Mm-hmm. A little bit tired. Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. And I guess before we start the episode, do we want to talk about why we're a little bit tired, a little bit hungover?
I think so.
Okay. So last night, we did our first photo shoot for the First Degree. Billy,
since the beginning.
Sorry. Billy is looking, one of his eyes is straight in the sun looking at me.
Yeah.
And the other one is in the shade. And that is not uncomfortable.
It's like a weird Bowie thing going on.
Yeah. Wait, yeah,
you wish.
Right. Anyways, so we did our first photo shoot of 3 years. The only other photo shoot that we've done is the one that is on our icon for the podcast.
Which is so not even what we look like anymore.
No, I have had a lot of Botox since then.
I am a new woman in several ways.
I don't know. In relationship to my age, that was only, you know, like... Yes, 5% of my age.
But you don't have a beard.
Yes, that's true. I added the beard.
Yeah, the beard is a good look, Billy. I'm glad that you've added that into your repertoire.
Thank you.
I'm undecided.
Really?
On both looks, frankly.
They're both subpar. Not interested.
Try something else. We'll see if that one sticks.
Our goal for this photo shoot was to replace the photo on our podcast logo. Because
right.
It's old. It's not us anymore. We've reinvented. We've become a new us.
Also, like, Vogue has never asked me or Jack or Billy to do a shoot. So it's like, we have to and everyone wants one. Everyone wants one of those crazy photo shoots. That it's like, you have pictures where you're dressed in some avant-garde shit. We all want it. Admit it.
Yeah.
So we just had to do it ourselves since no one asks us to.
And then Annie Leibovitz is not banging on our doors.
Terry Richardson either.
No, you don't want Terry Richardson to bang on your door.
Yeah. Not that predator.
Not that predator. But, I mean, talk about avant-garde, but we got most of our stuff on... not avant-garde websites, but that's okay.
You could never know.
You'll never know. I'm not going to say where we got it.
I feel like we did good.
But it might have been designer. It might not have been designer.
Yeah. Some of the pieces were old designer pieces that we worked in.
That is true.
Yeah.
And yes, you know. But I think that it took us like a bit to hone in, I think, on what we were going for. But by the end of the night, I feel like we ended up with a home run. And we're so excited.
We're so excited.
To like debut the new look.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can't wait.
It's very us. Mm-hmm.
It is very us. I think everybody is going to be very happy.
I think everybody's going to be so happy.
And you'll all be happy, but we promise Billy looks unhappy in every photo he took.
I mean, that was, when I said honing in, it's more so Alexis and I like
jumping around. Yeah.
And then Billy... having like, the worst time of his life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what he strives for.
That's about right.
Yeah.
He's not looking for happiness, this guy.
No, he's not. Which gives you happiness at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like, it is what you're asking for, is misery. Indifference.
Indifference or misery. What's
I was going to say misery, but I changed my mind.
I live my life with a large amount of indifference.
No, you live your life with acceptance. Mm. Like, you're very, I will say, Jack is very tough love because she's all about like accepting what you can't control. She's like, it is what it is. So when I get all sulky and like coddle me, she'll be like, you can't control this.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to accept it. So Jack just lives her life with self-acceptance. Billy, on the other hand, I'm not really sure what you're going for over here.
Yeah. If you figure it out, let me know.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to be that sure about what Billy's going for. Okay, well, Billy, what is our dark day today?
Okay, so today is August 26th, and it is Keith Raniere's birthday.
That dick balls.
Wow. Boo!
So we know that Keith, between 98 and 2018...
Keith Raniere?
He was running a thing called Nexium.
A cult.
A thing.
Let's not call necessarily it call is. It a cult just yet.
Okay.
They did personal development seminars. They would recruit celebrities. And of course, there was systemic sexual abuse.
Yeah, and the first little caption from Keith Raniere's Wikipedia says that he's an American felon, a cult leader, and a convicted sex trafficker, if we want to describe him a little bit better.
Convicted. And he's very short.
Well, Napoleon syndrome.
Yeah.
With probably
he's also really, really into volleyball.
Oh, yeah. He would make his little minions come and watch him, right?
In the middle of the night.
At 2 a.m.
That is so bizarre.
I'm like a narcolepsy person. No. How do you do a physical activity at that time?
That is just... even if he was like the most wonderful person in the entire world, playing volleyball at the wee hours of the night...
Huge red flag.
You're at least doing cocaine at the very least.
Some sort of fen-fen or like diet pill, if not.
So, diet pill. At the end of the day, it was revealed that he was raping young girls. He was sexually abusing a lot of people. He had to pay out $3.5 million in restitution.
This is new. This just happened recently.
Yeah.
Does he have the money? Or did he bleed himself dry during his defense?
Well, those fucking... oh, my God. The two gin sisters.
Yeah, the gin sisters.
The Bronfman sisters.
The Bronfmans, yeah.
They gave him millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't know if he got to keep that, though, once he got convicted.
Suckers. Well, I think they either did a deal. Like, they got in trouble, too.
Yeah. Yes.
So, he is now serving 120 years in prison.
Not enough.
The reason why we're bringing this up, this is his birthday today. He's 61 years old. But Nexium started as an MLM. And during today's True Crime Rewind, we're going to dive into that culture, the MLM culture.
Yeah. And if you're in, I mean, I think it's a group in Lady Gang, right? No MLMs allowed. I mean, MLMs have a bad rap for good reason.
No, yeah. We've all taken a strong stance on how we feel about MLMs, and we're going to dive into that a little bit later.
That's right.
But until then, we've got some bitching to do.
Sure do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right. Welcome to On the Stand. Today, we are being... I cannot speak today. Today, we are bringing...
We're in rough shape, guys. We're doing our best. We're still showing up and doing it.
I know. Listen, we won't miss an episode.
Hanging by a thread, but we'll show up and put up.
Lots of mistakes that we're not going to edit out, but that's what Killing Time is all about.
Authenticity.
Yes. Authenticity. Mm-hmm. You don't even know all of the shit that we edit out of our normal episodes.
You don't know how many times I've cried. I mean, it's bleak over here sometimes, but we're committed.
We're committed. Anyways, on the stand, we're bringing an idea, a thing to the stand. We're either defending it or prosecuting it. And then at the end of the day, we're voting if it's guilty or not guilty. And then, of course, we take it to our Instagram followers for everybody to vote and see if we're really like... on the nose of how we should feel about certain subjects. Yeah. It's a learning experience.
Are we status quo or are we against the grain?
Yes. Mm. Or do we need to like rethink about something that we're very passionately against?
Yeah, totally. We want to hear counter arguments.
Yes, counter arguments, please. Billy, I feel like you never start.
All right, I'm going to start. It is the summer.
Yes.
I believe somebody might have brought this up in the Facebook group.
Okay.
Water parks.
Ooh.
All right, now, water parks sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
In theory, it's really hot out. You're going to go to an amusement park where you're going to be able to cool yourself off.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody that loves themed entertainment, loves amusement parks, don't like them.
Okay.
Because it just seems, A, they're incredibly dangerous.
Gross.
B, they're very gross. And see, it's just a recipe kind of for disaster.
Counter argument, lazy river. You can't beat a lazy river.
But what is grosser than a lazy river? I'm cringing thinking about that water that probably has like condoms in it.
No, and honestly, like walking around barefoot, stomping in like the wet, dirty, like water puddles around the park and stuff. Like, it's so fucking gross.
And it's seeping with chlorine because they're really trying to get rid of all of the germs.
Urine.
But however,
the child urine.
Everybody knows the smell. The smell of the chlorine mixed with all of the germs and the gunk
and the
heat and like, the dead skin and the bodily fluids. Yeah. Like,
and the Band-Aids, because you'll always see four or five Band-Aids just floating around. Well,
you know what that smell is. Like, you can smell it right now. I know everybody listening. You know what that is. It's not cleanly.
It's not the chlorine smell of Pirates of the Caribbean. It's not that.
That's also bad.
That's wonderful.
No, it's not.
It smells like mildew.
No, the parts of the Caribbean smells very bad. I can smell that right now.
Smell
as
it right
well.
Now too.
Billy just took his mic
took
off.
Mic off. But I will say, water leaving. Parks. We didn't understand the idea of self-preservation.
What Billy, are you getting?
We didn't understand. I'm talking, Billy. We didn't understand the concept of self-preservation, and we didn't understand things being disgusting.
Yeah.
When we were kids, I actually enjoyed it. In California, I went to Raging Waters.
And Wild Rivers.
What's the one in New York?
In Riverhead.
What did you just say?
In Riverhead.
You just sounded like an Italian / Jewish grandmother.
Yeah. It's over there.
In Riverhead.
It's over there in Riverhead. I think it's called Splish Splash.
Yeah, Splish
yeah.
Splash.
Yeah, it's in
oh
Riverhead.
My God.
It's over there.
No, but see, I have nostalgic memories of that, but I could never enjoy it as an adult.
Mm-mm. No.
Also, you've heard crazy stories. I think there was a beheading at a water
park.
There
okay.
was. The one in Kansas City.
Yeah. Let me now switch the conversation. There is this documentary. I don't know what it's on. Maybe
Class Action Park.
Class that's Action a,
that's
Park.
That's where we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys go?
I went. I went.
You went?
And I had the scars to prove it. Like on the Alpine slide, you would come back to school and everyone's like, and people would see that you had bandages on and be like, you went to Action Park, didn't
well,
you?
Well, there was, so Class Action Park was about this water park called Action Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically like told the whole tale of the entire history of the park and the guy that started it that was like kind of like this fun, crazy guy, but also probably a psychopath.
Probably.
And made these insane rides. Like one of the rides did a loop-de-loop, circle.
Yes. And this is like, it's a tubular slide that you would,
with water in it.
That
yeah.
people were getting like skin peeled off their bodies because there were like seams in the
yes.
pipes.
Yes.
And the seams were like not sealed enough.
Yes.
So it was like skinning people.
Yeah. And like breaking off people's teeth and like the diarrhea. Anyways, there were.
Because of the tubes.
Because of the tubes. Well, you know the slides. Like you can't have a really high slide. It's going to go up people's
every
balls.
Time I just think about this, like something like what you just said, I think of Jared Monaco working at
Makudu's Island.
And he's like, a kid crawled through vomit and was like, a smoothie. I just crawled through a smoothie.
Yeah. I mean, this is the shit that happens at places like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's a great documentary for anybody that wants to
it's
watch
really
it,
good.
Except for the death. I mean, a bunch of people died. But
yeah. And many people died in the water areas.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the deaths happened in the wave pool. It was this giant pool with these giant fans.
Yep.
And it was a wave thing, and then people would die in them.
What's so interesting to me is that literally when you learn how to swim in the ocean and you're taught about the ocean, they're like, avoid the rip curls at all costs. Yeah.
And then they're asking you to dive into a rip curl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I feel like probably a lot of it was the amount of people that they were putting in that wave pool, too.
And the amount of oversight.
It was tumultuous.
Yeah.
Everything on that park was wrong.
No.
But it looked like so much fun.
It did.
It looked like so much fun.
And the fact that it's like old footage, it just looks like nostalgic.
I know, it's like the 80s. Like yeah. Nobody gives a shit. No cell phone in sight.
It's why we all turned out like this. Children of the 80s.
Yeah.
That's why we're interesting and cool.
We're the 90s.
You guys are children of the 90s.
Whatever.
I'm children of the 80s.
Whatever, Gen Z.
Okay, so water parks.
Guilty.
Guilty.
Just for the cleanliness.
Grody.
But miss them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go next. So on the stand for me today is red receipts. Red receipts on your text messages. Billy, do you know what these are?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're looking at me like you're very confused about what I was talking about.
Here's my old school mind. I'm thinking, wait a minute, she's going to Target and they're giving out red receipts instead of the plain white receipts.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. That's a weird place for you to go. No, a red receipt on an iPhone message basically tells you when the person has, quote unquote, seen the message. It tells you the timestamp that they opened it up. Yeah. Now, I think that this is problematic for so many reasons.
It can be, but it can be convenient.
Well, so the reason why I brought it up is because somehow now you have red receipts on your phone.
What?
I don't know if it's maybe just from your computer.
It might just be you. Do you? I have red receipts from you?
I don't.
Why would you put them on for me, Alexis? Usually people put them on for people they're trying to manipulate.
Yes. Okay, well,
I get
it doesn't
enough.
Say send red receipts on there.
You do. I swear to God, I will show you.
Uh-oh.
I get enough
Look,
flack
it
for
says
not-
red, 2:29 p.m.
It must be my computer, but honestly, I've been having issues with this before.
Mm,
where sometimes...
Lucky story.
Why? What am I manipulating you for?
I don't know.
And only me.
She doesn't need that because if we don't respond to her in an hour, she's going to yell
pissed.
At us anyway.
Yeah, I know. So. I'm like, you are the most interesting person to put on a red receipt. Because...
No, that is so, that honestly, it makes sense, but it doesn't because this has happened before and I like didn't believe. I was like, there's no way. It's either on or off. Or, I've been having some confusion with this before recently.
Yeah.
And I was like, that, but I honestly, I got a new phone. This is a new phone. But I just showed you. You're not on red receipt.
Well, I am.
Well, this is a problem.
This is a conundrum that we're going to have to talk about later. Shit. But we'll go back into the regular concept of red receipts.
Okay.
Now, the thing about red receipts is everybody has their phone on them all of the time. Mm-hmm. And unless you are the busiest person in the world, you're probably reading your text messages around the time that they're coming in.
Or yeah. You're at a movie.
A movie.
Or you're playing a game, or a hockey game. You're in the pool. There's a lot of things.
Or you're like working, I guess.
Yes.
Red but even if you're aren't even on in my preferences either.
But even if you're working, everybody has their text messages going into their computer.
I don't.
You don't?
I refuse to do that.
Oh, that's why you never respond to text
It's why messages. I get so... That's why he's like, email a Zoom link to me. I'm like, set up texting.
No. It's my one refuge when I'm writing on my computer. I don't need to be hearing from you people.
You people.
Rude. Well, a normal person would be seeing, and I'm not the type of person that needs a response right away, but a normal person would be seeing a message within a couple hours at most. So I don't like the anxiety that it gives you when you send a text message that you normally wouldn't care about, and then you keep checking to see if the person's read it or not. Because you know they've seen it.
Yeah.
They're just not opening the text message to now control the situation so that you don't see that they've seen it.
Did someone traumatize you with red receipts?
No.
Because I only have had positive experience. Like, I don't have any negative connotations with them, but I just think it depends on the rapport. If it's a healthy rapport and it's flowing and it's fine, I think it's great because then you don't have to get an acknowledgement.
They're unnecessary.
Listen, I think that... The idea, the whole texting thing is so,
texting.
I know I'm going to sound
archaic.
Like an old man here, but listen, actually today, I actually picked up the phone and called somebody without texting them first.
Did they answer?
Yes. And it was Paul. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to text him first. I'm going to call him. It was 10 o'clock. He says he was eating lunch on his deck, which is so weird because it was 10 o'clock. But it was like, it was what we used to do back in the day. You just call.
Makes me highly uncomfortable.
It.
Don't do that to me, please.
No, I don't like it.
Actually, I call you sometimes without
you did
warning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did that today.
You did that today.
Well, I had a question.
You did have a question. It was kind of urgent.
With an immediate answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's not what's on the stand.
Okay. Red
All
receipts.
Right. Red receipts.
Back to red receipts. I say guilty and unnecessary because everybody's on their phone all the fucking time that there's no need.
I say guilty.
I say not guilty, but you guys are the majority.
Okay. Well, I'm interested.
Says the one person that has red receipts on her phone.
Also, I just looked at Jack's individual thing and red receipts were turned on, but I didn't turn those on.
Only for me.
What are you trying to do? You were just on my computer sending yourself something. Maybe you're manipulating me with red receipts.
Could you imagine
if you're gaslighting me?
I was gaslighting you like that.
You're like, it's so weird, Alexis, that you put on red receipts. I'm like, what?
I did.
And you did it.
Wow, I love this.
I know.
I didn't do it, but like that sounds
It's
like
very
an amazing
layered.
Thing to do.
It's layered.
Yes.
I'm into it.
Okay, yes.
Okay, Lex, what's on the stand for you today?
All right. So on the stand today, I'm going to put on the stand when you're on a plane and the pilot does his job and doesn't kill you and lands the plane.
Are we talking about clapping?
And then people clap. And I'm like, okay, there's no... Okay. His job is so you don't die.
Yes.
There's no alternative to not landing it. He must land.
Must.
That's like a prereq for this job. He must land every time. I don't think we should do something like as menial as like clapping, because then maybe one day he'll be like, I didn't get the recognition I deserve, and like maybe lower his flight standards and lash out in some weird way or do one of those like weird flips midair to like punish us for not giving him enough accreditation.
The clapping when the plane lands, I think, has been a controversial subject for a while.
I hate it. It's so sick.
Listen.
Unless the only reason
crazy
I feel
turbulence
like,
or something.
No, that I feel like you should clap when a plane lands is if you're going to rage your face off and like everybody on the plane is going to Miami to club or something. And then you finally arrived and then the weekend can begin.
Sure.
And then it's like if you play craps and everybody claps when the person rolls,
and
you know,
it's not about the pilot. It's about you starting to party.
The crowd. Yeah.
Okay. But then he might mistake it for clapping for him.
And then he's going to get a little bit too confident.
I'm just telling you, ego, an inflated ego can do a world of harm.
Okay. Billy, what are your thoughts on this?
Listen, I've said this before on this podcast. I think flying is a ridiculous invention. It's amazing.
Can you say that on this?
That we can do this. And I think you're clapping not only for the pilot, you're clapping for the engineers, the people that built the plane, the people that invented all this stuff.
That's not what people are clapping for.
I don't care.
They were invented in like 1900.
I don't care. You're still appreciating it because it, you know what? It used to take 7, 8, 9 weeks to go from New York to
people have been flying
California.
Since the 60s and it hasn't even evolved that much.
It really hasn't evolved at all.
Don't give them that much credit.
You know what?
We're flying on the same planes from like the 70s.
It is mind-blowing to me that transportation has barely evolved.
Yes.
Barely.
And like the richest dude can only go up to space for like 7 minutes or some shit.
And fuck Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Exactly. But I'm saying we're flying on planes that are 40 years old sometimes and nothing has gotten better. And that shocks me.
You know what though? It's better than 10,000 years of civilization.
I think you should start booing when the flight lands. We demand
like,
better.
Yeah,
where's our fucking rockets?
We
this is
demand
bullshit.
Better. Why aren't we flying at the edge of the atmosphere so we can get to Japan in an hour?
Five hours, New York to LA?
That's
boo.
Right.
Boo. 3 hours.
Especially with the price of flights as steep as they are sometimes. I understand they dipped during COVID, but like also I've been charged $1,000 to fly to Europe or something. I'm like, well, I should be teleported.
When you do think about it, it actually is pretty crazy that you can fly around the entire planet for $1,000. Mm-hmm. That's pretty crazy.
No, it's just one continent hop.
It's pretty fucking amazing.
Around the world's hard. A flight to Thailand or Australia is a lot more.
Mm. Yeah, but still, it's still not that much money when you think about what you're actually doing. You're flying around the one thing that we know and nothing more.
If I had the gavel, I would slam it and say, I deserve better. Boo.
Wow. All right.
But thank you for getting me there safely. Please don't stop.
Yeah. So clapping when the plane lands. I say it's guilty because I think it's so annoying.
Guilty.
Not guilty.
Okay. Let's poll the listeners.
You're a clapper, aren't you?
I'm not a clapper, but I don't begrudge it because I believe that it is kind of
he's thrilled.
He's always drunk when the plane lands, so he doesn't know anyway.
He doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
So as we said, today is Keith Raniere's birthday.
Boo.
Boo. Yes. And he was the founder of a thing called Nixxium. Now, Nixxium.
A cult. Okay, what do you
fine,
keep calling
a cult,
it a thing?
Fine.
A sex
people
trafficking
are gonna
cult.
Get mad at
a
you.
Sex yes.
Because it's really like terrible and destructive.
It was completely horrible. Go watch the doc, particularly the doc on Stars, which did not pull punches. But Nixxium actually started out as an MLM. Now,
multi-level marketing is what that stands for.
Yes. Now, if you want to know how bad MLMs are, in most true crime Facebook groups, there are rules. The first rule is usually no hate speech, no racism.
Yeah.
The second rule is usually no MLMs.
Yep.
So that can show you how bad MLMs
are.
Not
in our group rules. We should change that.
I don't know if we've gotten infiltrated
no one's
by MLMs
ever
yet.
Tried to.
They will at some point.
Yeah, it'll happen.
But it hasn't gotten bad yet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ladies, you know about these MLMs. How do they creep into our lives?
Well, I was talking to Jack about this when we were talking about this segment. Are you familiar with Cutco knives?
No.
They were knives that were like sold door to door. That's an MLM. Because like usually people think makeup or health or wellness, but you know, the essential oils or Arbonne or Mary Kay, right? Like those are the big ones. Is Mary Kay one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary Kay was like one of the original
MLMs.
Yeah,
but Cutco Knives was one too. And they really like span the gambit.
Is Cutco knives, I don't even know what that is, but is that more geared to men?
They were sold door to door.
By men.
By like, yeah, I think by men.
So the interesting thing about MLMs is their demographic is almost exclusively women. And by women, it's most exclusively stay-at-home moms. Yeah. They target minority groups. They target low-income housing because the whole basis of MLM is like you have to, quote unquote, sell your product to your community.
Your
so
friends.
Who's community-based? Women, minority groups, low-income households.
Yeah.
So they're really preying and being predators towards these type of groups of women.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come off that way.
No, because the person who, you know, recruits you is driving like a pink Arbonne mobile.
Yeah.
And is like, this could be you. I got it for free from work. And again, I mean, the percentage of people who make out like bandits, they're especially predatory because that means they've recruited and stolen money essentially from all the aforementioned groups that Jack mentioned.
Okay. So how does it work?
So go ahead.
Well, so MLMs are, okay. Pyramid schemes and MLMs are two different things. A pyramid scheme is basically all of the success of the person at the top is based on the recruitment of other people. There are no goods exchanged.
Well, pyramid schemes are illegal and MLMs are not.
Pyramid schemes are illegal because you're not selling anything.
Because you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
So MLMs, they kind of circumvented the whole thing by now offering exchange of goods. So now you're making money. I say that in quotes because 99% of people lose money.
You have to make an initial investment.
Because you have, and also you just don't make money
back
for the most part having an MLM, but you make most of your money and you rise to the ranks because there's different status levels by recruiting more people. So you're moving to the top of the pyramid by recruiting people and then you make a percentage of their what they sell and what they sell and what they sell to the very bottom, plus the products that you sell. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's like mostly based on recruitment. So again, it's like circumventing the whole problem.
Sure.
So that's kind of how they're built. But it's funny because how MLMs are promoted is like this boss babe, entrepreneur, be your own boss, set your own rules. And it's nothing like that.
No.
Like it's completely built on lies.
It's very exploitative. It's very, you know, you have to invest a bunch of money. You have to buy the product to then try to sell it and to try to recruit people. And for someone like me who's not engaged in MLM, the most annoying part is like people from high school messaging you out of the blue, trying to like sell Tupperware to you or some shit, or inviting you at a party. You think you're going to a wine and cheese party. And then it's like they sit you down and they do a presentation. I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? I thought I was coming here for a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc. Like, this is not what I signed up for. That being said, the products aren't always terrible. So I swear by one MLM product that I won't mention because I'm not going to plug them.
Do not plug them.
But makes my eyelashes amazing, and it's changed my eyelash life.
Yeah.
But I will not promote it. Just do your own Google and you can find it.
Yeah. Billy, do you want to tell a few MLM facts that are a little bit fucked up?
Yes. So MLMs, like you were saying, they sell you on you being your very own boss.
Boss babe.
Boss babe.
But you're not your own boss. You're working on, you're a commission-based salesperson.
Yeah. And you're also buying stuff and keeping it in your garage and you have to sell it.
And then it expires and then like, it's just a mess.
The FTC found that they studied 350 MLMs. 99% of people who join MLMs lose money.
So that's not even 1% makes money.
Yes.
1% isn't losing money.
And then the other percentage is breaking even, and then an even smaller percentage
is actually making money.
So of the 1%, some are breaking even, and a percentage of that 1%
is actually profiting anything.
Yes. And 10% of people that manage to make... sorry, we got to cut that.
Why?
Okay, fine. 10% of people manage to make over $100 a week using MLMs. That's it. $100 a week. 10% of the people that are in MLMs. Now, the worst MLMs. Herbalife. You know this?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, all right. The FTC mailed checks to...
Rita, remember when your mom did Herbalife? Oops. Love you.
To 350,000 people who lost money selling Herbalife products... And
no, but Rita's mom just took the products. She didn't sell them.
Okay.
What do you mean I think she took them?
There's products you buy that they're like nutritional products, but apparently they're good. She didn't sell MLM. She just bought those products from someone and liked them.
So she was an MLM consumer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As am I.
There's also LuLaRoe.
LuLaRoe
is that, leggings?
Fugly ass leggings with all of the bad patterns. Uh-oh. They're like insane.
And apparently sellers pay up to $6,000 to join.
Well, and that's so that's the thing that's like a huge thing with MLMs.
Like a franchise fee, like in essence.
Not only do you have to pay for products. Well, and this is how, like, going back to Nexium, it's like these people were paying. I mean, Nexium was more of a pyramid scheme. I guess they were getting something out of it, but they were paying all this money for all these classes. And you had to invest all this money and invest and invest and invest. And you're investing in these products. And then you have to pay a fee to probably learn how to talk about the products and all this shit. So before you even start, you're out of pocket like $6,000 to $10,000 for some of these.
Yes. There is also Amway, which is kind of like the original.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. Amway is, I think it probably from the 50s, 60s, something along
those
lines.
What is it? So what is the product?
It's everything. It's like everything that you would get kind of at Costco kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just like a bunch
of... That sounds great.
Just like a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
So like bulk products?
Not so much bulk products, but just like anything that you would get maybe at a supermarket or something. It's just a lot of stuff. I don't think that, you know, just...
Like, I need you to be more specific.
Things that won't expire.
Pudding?
They might have pudding in Amway.
Okay, I'm on Amway.com because it still exists. They have vitamins and supplements, weight management, sports nutrition, energy drinks, skincare, makeup, fragrance, bath and body care, hair care, air treatment, cookware. They have everything.
Yeah, so what you mean is no groceries.
Are there any? Is there pudding?
Is there? let me search for pudding. No
pudding.
No
all right.
Pudding.
So
not like a grocery store or like Costco at all.
The reason why we're talking about this is we are announcing the First Degree Pudding MLM.
Oh my God. What if we
made home, scratch at home by Alexis?
Everybody, yes. Everyone,
what if we just announced
stovetop, stovetop First Degree Pudding?
So the thing
made
that's
with love.
Okay. The craziest thing to me is what? Okay. I'm not in touch with anybody from high school. I deleted my Facebook from
really?
High school.
Nobody.
I have one friend from high school. Caitlin, if you're listening, I love you. Alexis knows Caitlin.
Yeah, hi Caitlin.
I don't need to talk to people from high school. Sorry if anybody is listening. But so I deleted my Facebook. I only have it for First Degree. It's fine. So I don't get those, hey girl, how have you been? Like, do you wanna
come to my Tupperware party?
But I have had somebody from high school. I can't remember what the brand is, but it was like this lip stain. And I'm like, I love a lip stain. She's like, let me send you some products, blah, 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 blah. And it took me so much research to realize that it was an MLM.
It was?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you're using me.
Was it Rodan and Fields?
It wasn't Rodan and Fields.
Okay.
It was like Lip Sense, I think it might have been called.
Interesting.
And then another one of my friends that I'm like, you should know better. Now you're selling doTERRA oils.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're a smart girl.
Listen, and again, I love a lip stain. I love an oil, a tea tree, a mint. But like, go get them from the store and
from
bring
Whole
them
Foods.
Home.
Yes.
Or, you know, but like, you don't need to commit to like a...
Go support a local business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's another thing with MLMs that they kind of promote it as being a small business. But really, these are like gigantic corporations. Like, there is nothing about MLMs that screams small business.
No.
At all.
Mm-mm.
So, there you have your MLM primer. Once again, look out for the First Degree Pudding MLM. Coming soon. We're not calling it an MLM. We're calling it a cult.
And I want you all to sell it for us.
It's a pudding cult. Okay?
Dude, if there is any MLM that I would be sucked into, it might be a pudding.
That's right.
Honestly, I have to talk about this. Pudding is the most underrated dessert in America.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love a chocolate pudding?
Yeah.
It's good.
The texture is amazing. Though.
Yeah.
More pudding is what it needs.
More pudding.
Homemade First Degree pudding.
No, you know what First Degree puddings? We're pudding. It's pudding, but then it's add your own toppings.
Okay.
Like it's like a Cold Stone, but for pudding.
Very cold pudding, and then add your own.
Add like an Oreo crunch.
Gotcha.
Or add maybe like some chocolate chips.
Ooh.
Okay. And you create your own exquisite
parfait luxury of pudding.
Yeah, so our fleet of pudding trucks are going to be coming out soon as well. So be on the lookout for those, and they'll be franchising opportunities.
It's around like $12,000 to start and invest in your pudding truck but of your own.
It will be fantastic, and you will be
also enjoy our custard spinoff, which will be coming summer of next year.
Yeah, we'll send you our copy and paste email that you need to send your friends on Facebook.
Okay, everyone. You know what we're going to find out right now?
Who's the worst?
Speaking of the worst things that we've ever done, like launching our pudding MLM, the worst things that you people have ever done.
Ooh, boy.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey, worsty firsties.
Ooh.
You all are my people. Those of you who have done questionable things and you ruminate and self-doubt and obsess and then feel so bad that you feel the urge to call and confess, like, we are one. So I hope you feel connected to me in that way, and also Jack and Billy. Jack's a pretty good person, but Billy's definitely fucked up quite a lot. But we want to hear from you, and you need to call us. Here's a few things you should know. They're going to ask you for your name. You don't have to say it. Just say boop or like fuck or whatever the fuck, or say your name. We actually don't hear that at all, so we don't know who you are.
Yeah.
The phone number is 323-539-3516. Again, that is 323-539-3516. Call and leave your worst thing or leave a message of profanity. We don't really care. One other thing to know. About 2 minutes and 30 seconds, it'll cut off. So if it's a long story, we love that, please call back. Just note, it's going to cut off at that point. And that's really the basis of our...
Nice selling job,
thanks.
Alexis.
Thanks, guys. And your secrets are sort of safe with us, only broadcast to the public, but with true anonymity if you want. All right, let's dig into our firsty-worsty...
Firsty-worsty, baby.
Truly firsty... never mind.
That's okay. It happens.
Yep.
Hey, guys. Listening to the podcast, listening to the worst things people have done, and kind of got me thinking about the worst thing I've ever done, and it's a toss up between this and something else, but 2.5 years ago I met my fiance now, and she had gotten out of like an abusive marriage like a year before that, and she wasn't in a great place, and we got together, and unfortunately for her, like this guy that she had, hang out, whatever, you know, I'm talking about, had been with, before me, just like could not let it go. And this guy was bad, like threatened to kill her dog, forced her into like, you know, a certain situation that no woman ever wants to be in. And for a while, you know, I'd stay at her house and, you know, at night, because like we were that worried that this dude was gonna come try to fuck shit up. Well, let's see, it was probably, I don't know, 4 months after like this started, we were going to one of our favorite restaurants and driving along like this back road where it's like up in Appalachia, and this motherfucker just happens to be out chilling, walking along this road. Now, you want to mess with me, that's fine. Don't mess with the girl, and don't mess with her dog, who I love. Okay? So, long story short, I ran this motherfucker over. And it did some pretty good damage. I don't want to say unfortunately, but it did not kill him. Fucked him up real good. Guy was like an MMA fighter. He completely lost his career doing that. Brain damage, this and that. I mean, more brain damage than this fucker had before. So, it's one of those, like, stories that you always hear where this dude gets a GoFundMe and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Everybody thinks poor him, poor this, poor that. Got a record a mile long of, like, you know, restraining orders and all kinds of violent behavior. After that, I kind of lose track of the situation. And, you know, I always worried about getting that knock on the door, but it never came. And I don't know, maybe 14 months after I did that, I am looking in the local news post and I see a picture. And he has held a woman hostage with a knife to her throat, and the police actually got him and put him away for good. You know, this violent behavior finally caught up with him. But worst thing I ever did was not make sure that that guy couldn't hurt someone else. And I lose no sleep over it, but I did all I could.
All right. I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
You, sir, are very bold, and you're lucky your instincts are so good because this guy was a dangerous guy and you hurt him and there weren't consequences. That being said, vigilante justice, never a good idea.
No.
Never a good idea. Very risky for your own safety, freedom. We have a judicial system. It is flawed, but is okay at times. But listen, you were very lucky. We're not going to condemn what you did because he ended up being a rapist, murderous weirdo who deserved to be in jail. But I commend your valiant efforts in protecting your fiance and her dog. Again, though, we can't encourage this kind of behavior, but I'm really glad you called us and told us.
We can't encourage this kind of behavior at all, but no. We were asking for the worst things that people have ever done.
And, you know, yours had a happy ending, but this isn't a risk anyone else should take. And you sound like a good dude. I hope you and your fiance are still together. And you know what? I don't know what it's like to have a partner and have their safety be threatened. I really don't. So you did what you did and you are who you are. And we can't change the past. That being said, we're so happy that you're not in jail for what you did. Because under normal circumstances, you may be.
You might be.
You may be. And sometimes people take that calculated risk and know that. Sometimes people are like, I'm going to do this because that guy killed my son. And like, I don't care if I go to jail. And that's a risk people take that's calculated. If you don't want to go to jail, don't do this. I'm really glad you and your fiance are still together and that it all worked out for you guys. This guy does sound like a colossal piece of shit. And we want more of these. Like, we're not sure how to respond. We're not sure how to respond, but like, we work in true crime and I'm actually very here for this. And if you ever send me something that's hyper legal, like I have a body, whatever I do, send it, but I won't help you.
No.
If you send it saying there's...
I'll probably try to find you and get you arrested.
Yes.
Frankly.
Well, yes. Also, it's interesting that this was our first male caller. And this...
I love this.
And it's a confession that we got.
Yeah. And you know what? It's like, Listen, if he was an abusive piece of shit to your fiance, I completely understand your perspective and your fear for her safety. And we don't know all the circumstances of your life. So we can't understand maybe why you didn't feel like you could get police involved or why not. We don't have all the information. But we love you. You're one of our scarce male,
very scarce
listeners.
That's right. Who are starting to become, you know?
Well, because you called them out and said we don't have them.
They're starting to mobilize on the.
They're
Facebook
mobilizing.
Group.
They are. We're getting more. And we're here honestly, for it. If I, we obviously these male confessions are
juicy,
yes. Very juicy. So if you're listening out there and you want to confess your sins,
not only that, you said you were deciding between this and another one. Please call us with your other one.
Oh, he did.
He's like,
I
think it's either this one or that one. I'll
if
there is
another one that you are
that's close to this,
that's
one?
On the fence. Please let us. Yeah,
I don't know your name, but we're going to call you John Doe for a while.
Yeah, and we
call us with our other one.
Yes, absolutely.
You're an angel. On to the next.
On to the next.
Okay, so this voicemail is in regards to the call out to the worst thing you've ever done. All right, so I just finished listening to the second Jill in Time episode, and first of all, love it. Second of all, the email about the cremation. So this whole discussion was about things that you did that was accidental, and, you know, how do we feel about it? Well, my worst thing is... was so not accidental. It was intentional. So I just like to get your opinions on it. Okay. At one point in my life, I was in a very abusive marriage, and life was not five-star by any means. So I came home from a long, long shift of work. I am a medical professional, and I get home, and my husband at the time and my toddler have just basically gotten out of bed, and the first words out of their mouth are, "What's for supper?" Nothing's been done. The laundry's been done. The house hasn't been cleaned. The groceries didn't get, like, nothing happens. And I'm livid again because I'm still living this life. But I cook supper anyway. And I was doing spaghetti, and I was still very upset. And when I poured the noodles into the colander, a majority of the noodles fell out and into the sink, and a portion, let's just say a large portion, fell into the actual drain where you actually had to pick each noodle up from the drain. So I stand at the sink, and I'm looking at these noodles, and I'm still so very mad at my significant other, and yes, that is when the decision is made that he will be eating the noodles that fell in the drain. So I place the noodles from the drain onto his plate, and I put the spaghetti sauce on top, and I fix the table, and then we all sit down for our family meal, and it's him and myself and my son. My son finishes his, and he says, "Oh, I'm still hungry. Can I have some more?" My ex at the time says, "I'm not going to finish mine here. You can just, you know, have what's left." I immediately jump up, and I'm like, "No, he cannot eat your leftovers."
You know, well, she got cut off. At the end of that.
Yeah, she got cut off at the end.
But you can imagine what the rest of that will be.
You can imagine what it is. And I got to say, hearing her, it's like, this is a thing that women struggle with, even without family. It's like, you're struggling to do it all. Like, I don't know how you keep your house clean and have a job and date and have a social life. You're really struggling. And like on TV, it looks like we can. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's easy for women. And it's fucking brutal.
Well, and when she was explaining her profession, she was probably a doctor or a nurse or somebody working these long hours, and then to come home and then
she said her husband got out of bed
and is demanding things of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I would have done worse.
I support you fully because this is one of those harmless things. Like, our immune systems are impeccable. We eat gross shit all the time without knowing it. This isn't something that will harm him. I mean, we're sending our kids to these fucking water parks we talked about earlier. The drain noodles.
No, I was like, again, you know when the story starts and you're just like, where is this going to go? Where is this? I'm like, did she pee in it? Did she spit in it? Is she just doing what everybody else does at a restaurant and putting their hair in it? Like, what is she going to do? So, depending on what was in that drain, I mean, it's okay. But, you know, it's the act of doing it, and it's the satisfaction that she probably got, where it's like, I'm sure this isn't the first time that her husband hadn't been helpful. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not married anymore. Mm-hmm. Something happened. So it's not that bad. The retaliation could be worse.
Honestly, I feel like women need these little releases. Otherwise, we'd fucking lose it. Mm-hmm. Because society is sort of like stacked against us. Like, we can never do enough or succeed enough or get fair treatment or get fair wages or whatever the fuck. So it's like, this release help you not fucking explode 2 weeks after this. Like, you needed this to keep going at your long hours or keep making supper. Like, you know, it's these little victories, and that was a victory, girlfriend, and we support you.
Yeah,
little
victories, and baby. I think we need a what would be known as a sound drop when she said, "And that is when the decision was made."
Yeah, you know yourself. You're introspective. You knew that you needed a little.
You're looking into that down into that drain. Looking down at that drain, like, at the drain noodles.
This is what needs to be done.
That is when the decision was made.
And you're going to keep honoring your instincts because you're a bad bitch who can do it all after all.
Yep.
On to our next segment.
The Costanza. We need a song for this.
Yeah.
I think so too.
We can get a bass thing going on.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit afraid of what everyone will think of this.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The title for today's Costanza Stanza is called George's Love Language. I'm George Costanza, and by now you've come to realize I suck, but I'm able to hypnotize women looking for butterflies. You know, the ones looking for love with stars in their eyes. I convince them there's substance behind these dead eyes. Good, right?
Yeah, it's so good.
I tell them I want a relationship, but I'm really looking to terrorize because I'm the kind of guy you're going to despise. I tell lots of lies, a devil in disguise.
Oh my God, it's going into a rap.
Mm-hmm. Call me out on it. Ha, I'll make countless denies. I always chastise. I gaslight, cajole. I make women cry, make them want to die, give them the highest highs, make them feel like a prize, and then shock them with a painful demise. Heck no, I never apologize. Oh, I definitely never sympathize. It's pain I'm looking to maximize and lives I'm looking to jeopardize.
Whoa.
But then again, I'm George Costanza, so is any of this at all a surprise?
Wow.
Yes.
Alexis, that was like so long.
And I did that very hungover like an hour before I got here.
I love that. Wow, that's one of your absolute best.
Wait till you hear my one on Newman in a few episodes.
Oh my God.
Bye.